Who does this guy think he is? You know, who do drug dealers think they are, that they can stand out here and sell drugs and defy the living God? Who are these people out in the streets that think they have this right and this power to go and abuse and take advantage of other people?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of The Life of God and the God of Life. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Life of God and the God of Life.
As we get started today, we kind of got into dealing with the attributes of God last week, and I'll be doing that. I'm going to actually start a series here in a week or two, but just kind of in between, on Wednesdays I've been doing the attributes of God. We've been talking about knowing God, and so this morning I'd like to talk about another attribute of God, and that's dealing with the fact that God is life, that God is life. If you would turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. And we see that God has many attributes. We've talked about a lot of them so far, like I said, on Wednesdays. And we talked about the eternality of God last week. And this morning, we want to talk about the fact that God is life. The life of God and the God of life. John chapter 5 and verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. In April of 1966, Time magazine ran an article, and on the cover was the question, is God dead? This was a question that Time magazine posed to not only the readers, but the fact that it made it to the front cover, it had a far more reaching implication and also message to people that didn't even read the magazine. And those who would actually delve into what it was talking about, it was dealing with the fact that modern science had explained away and almost eliminated the need for, as they would say, quote unquote, religion. That there were so many other things in the secular world that supplemented the needs of people that they began to question what was the need for God. And one of the things that happened was they brought out clearly in this article, and this really was kind of shocking to the people that, especially those who are of the faith, and that was God was taking up less and less space in the lives of people. And you know what? I don't think anything has changed too much today, that, you know, God is really not taking up a lot of space in the life of some people. And so the question was asked, is God dead? And so we turn to the scriptures, not to Time magazine, not to the scientists, not to the secular world, but we turn to the scriptures to see, is God dead or is he still alive? In John chapter 5, we read that God hath life in himself, that there is no need to look for life outside of God. There was a song when I first got saved. I love this song. And the title, and I it must have came in conjunction to this whole movement, Is God Dead? And the title of the song, If God Is Dead. If God is dead, what makes the flowers bloom? If God is dead, what makes summer come in June? If God is dead, who's listening and who answers prayers? I know he lives, he lives, he lives, he lives. I can feel him moving through the trees and the wind and the breeze. I can see him shining through the night in the stars that shine so bright. If God is dead, what makes my life worth living? I'm so glad I know he lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. If God is dead, what makes my life worth living? Why am I even here? If God is dead, we just live on this earth, and as songwriter after songwriter have sung, some people have said, all we are is dust in the wind. That we live on this earth and then we just blow away like wind. There's another songwriter said that we only dance on this earth for a short while and then we're gone. The dance is over. Whatever dance you did while you were here, going back to old school, shing-a-ling, boogaloo, whatever dance you did, you danced it for a little while and then it was over. If God is dead, what makes my life worth living? The definition of the life of God. We see that the life of God means that he has absolute life within himself and that he is the source of all life. So when we define, what are we talking about when we say the life of God, we are saying that, you know, he exists apart from any other life. And when you think about the fact that every person alive, except or who has ever lived, except for Adam and Eve and Jesus Christ, has a mother and father. Everybody here was dependent on somebody else for life. That you wouldn't be here had you not had a mother or father. So you are dependent on your mother and father for life. God, as we talked about the eternality of God last week, he's not dependent on anybody for life. The scripture says that he is life. And so, you know, and as we go through this message today, there's some things that I take that hopefully will motivate us to live a more godly life when we understand this whole idea about God being life. What are the characteristics of the life of God? Well, basically, there are two. There are two characteristics. One is independence, and the other one is foundational. Independence basically means that God is life, and he is not dependent on anything else for his living or existence. And then we see foundational, and that means that he is the foundation, or he is the source to all of the life. God is the source to everything that lives. In Psalm 36, verse 9, it says that he is the foundation of life. And then we go on to see in the scriptures that human beings, he created them. As a matter of fact, there is a verse in Acts. Look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 27. Acts chapter 17 and verse 27 in reference to human beings. It says that they should seek the Lord if perhaps they might feel him afterwards and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. For in him, we live and move and have our being. The old deacons in the church that I used to pastor down in the country would put it like this. Lord, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? Oh, the old deacon, he might not have knew Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, but he knew what it meant when it talked about the life of God, that God's life sustains all life, and he understood that if God withdrew himself from him, he would have nowhere to go, that his life would be over. Even the life of animals, we see that God created their life. And got into a little discussion last week when I made a comment in the sermon about animals in heaven. So I want to go back and correct something that I do believe that there will be animals in heaven. And now I'll say that. Now, as far as pets, now that's another thing. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to say that. I'm going to go back on the pets thing. But I know that there will be animals, because when Jesus comes back from heaven, he's coming back on a white horse. So we know there's at least one animal in heaven. All right. But the other thing that I want to say that I thought was interesting is that when you look at the life that God gave to man and the life that God gave to animals, it's two complete different lives. Because in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we see that God reached down into the earth. He created Adam, and what did he do? He blew into him the breath of life. Adam received life directly from the breath of God. Whereas if you look at the creation of all the other animals, what did God do? He just created them, right? As somebody said, he spoke them into existence. He created them. So there was a different type of life there. And then finally, we see that God is the source of all plants and trees. That everything that exists, that God is the giver of life. And so when we praise him, you know, sometimes we just might need to, you know, during my devotion time, I try to think about different things to praise God for. And one of the things that we can praise God for is the fact that he's the God of life. And that he gives life to everything. And that, Father, we just thank you this morning that you are not only the author of life, but, Lord, you are life itself. Lord, you are the very breath of life. And we thank you, we praise you this morning for being life. Thank you, Lord. God is life. And then we move on and see that on many occasions, he was identified as the living God. The living God. Joshua proclaimed him as the living God. Not a dead God. He didn't ask the question, is God dead? But he proclaimed him as a living God. But there's a couple of these I want to look at this morning. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we see that the Philistines had attacked the Israelites, and they were having a battle in the valley, and they had this champion, the Philistines did, named Goliath. And Goliath was out there going back to the day, one of the terms that I used to use. Goliath was out there selling wolf tickets, and that means that he was challenging the armies of God. And so David's father says, can you take these supplies down to your brothers who are on the battlefield? And so David goes down there, and he sees Goliath out here in the valley selling these wolf tickets. And he goes up in verse 26, and I love what he says here. He says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26, and David spoke unto the men who stood with him, saying, what shall be done for the man who killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who does this guy think he is? Who do drug dealers think they are, that they can stand out here and sell drugs and defy the living God? Who are these people out in the streets that think they have this right and this power to go and abuse and take advantage of other people? Don't they know that there is a living God? And even though somebody asked me, well, how come God doesn't strike people right now? And I said, well, you work a job, right? And they said, yeah. I said, you don't always get paid on the same day that you work, right? I said, you know one thing, that payday is someday. Payday is coming. That there is a living God, that there is a God who sits high and who walks low, and he knows all the injustices, he knows all the wrongdoing, and this living God, you can't continue to live this life and defy him. This living God, one day, you want to arouse his anger. And Psalm 2 said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The rulers of this earth have set themselves against the Lord and his anointed. They have cried out to him and say, let us cast his bands asunder. Let us destroy his bonds. But he that sits in the heaven, he shall laugh. He shall mock them in derision. He's going to drive them crazy. Why? Because he is a living God. We serve a living God. And David understood that. That there's people defying God all the time. There's people that's balling their fist and shaking it in the face of God. And God is just laying back right now. He's sitting back. But don't take that to the fact that God is dead. Don't take that to the fact that God is inactive. He's just, like I said, payday is not always a day. But payday is someday. David defended this living God. You see what he said here? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this knucklehead that's out here standing against the armies of God? Does he know who he's dealing with? Really? Who is this guy? Man, we serve a living God. A God that has life and a God that is alive. Psalm 84 and verse 2. Psalm 84 and verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. The living God. I was watching this special on Gil Scott Heron. Some of you may remember him. He was a musician back in the 70s and 80s. And they were talking about how he got hooked on crack later in life. And it dealt with this, and the guy came on and he said something, I mean, it just was so profound, and I had never thought about this before. He said that whenever you smoke crack, 3 to 5 minutes after you get finished smoking crack, you're a genius. And he said, 10 minutes later, you want to be a genius again. Think of, that's deep, right? That crack, what? You smoke it and you think like, man, I'm Einstein. You know? And then it starts to wear off, and then 10 minutes later, you want to be Einstein again. So what do? You go back and get some more crack. What is that? That's their flesh is crying out for the crack pipe. Some people's flesh are crying out for alcohol. Some folks are crying out for relationships. Some folks are crying out for money. But the psalmist said that my flesh cries out for the living God. Is that your heart this morning, saints? You see, just think, all those things I've mentioned are dead. They lead to a dead end. There's no ultimate life in those things. But if I want to cry out, if my heart is going to cry out, I want to cry out to something that's going to give me life. I want to cry out to something, I don't want to cry out to something that's dead, that's going to work toward my demise. I want something that's going to be infusing life within my soul. The psalmist cried out for the living God. Oh, I like Peter when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, some Isaiah, other the prophets. He said, but who do you say? Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That Jesus Christ was identified as the Son of the living God. Not all these other guys that were coming along during that time, worshiping Baal and worshiping Molech and worshiping Dagon and worshiping the god of the fire. All those gods were dead gods. And so Peter had to distinguish the fact that all these other gods that people serve, they're dead gods. Now, I'm going to say something, and I know when it goes over the airways that there may be some people that are offended, but Muhammad was a dead prophet. Allah is a dead god. All right, Buddha is a dead god. Only we have the living God. Only we have the God who is the God of life, the God that only has life, but the God that gives life. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Thessalonians 1:9 talks about how the people had turned from idols to serve the living and true God. But I do want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, because I believe there's a word in 1 Timothy chapter 3 for us. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And Paul says here, now this is the church. Now he's speaking to the church, all right? In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest that thou oughtest be, how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. Oh, man, we can stop. Let's stop right there. How I ought to behave myself in the house of God. That if I am a member of the redeemed, if I am a member of the household of the saints, if I am a member of the body of Christ, he's speaking to me at this point. How I ought to behave myself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Now, why does he keep bringing this out? Because there's a whole lot of churches where their God is dead. And saints, you are in the church that we serve, the living God. You know, our God is not out there somewhere not feeling what we feel, not hearing what we say, not seeing what's going on, that we have a living God. But before I get to the good stuff of what I want to say today, let me just take one more stop. And that is in Psalm 115. Let me just stop in Psalm 115 for a moment. And let's look at verses 3 through 9. Psalm 115, verses 3 through 9. Actually, let's go back and look at verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the nations say, where is your God? Is he dead? Is he sleeping? Is he occupied? Why should the nations say, where is our God? But verse 3, but our God is in the heavens, and he has done whatsoever he pleases. Our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he wants to do. He said, but their gods are idols of silver and gold, and look at this, and the work of men's hands. How many hundreds of thousands of gods are in the world that have been shaped by a man's hand? Little short fat men people worship. Calves made out of gold people worship. These are all gods shaped by the hands of men. But he goes on to say, look at some characteristics of the living God, contrasted with, now think, all these other gods are dead gods. Now, I know somebody will say that, well, you know, Pastor Glaze, you're being kind of narrow-minded this morning. You are kind of narrowing things down when you're saying there's only one true and living God. I'm just saying what the book says. Now, if you want to believe something else, that's up to you. I shared with y'all a couple of weeks ago how that 47% of Christians, born again Christians, believe that there's another way to heaven other than Jesus Christ. So, I mean, you know, the fact that that's a fact in the body, that says that there are probably, I don't know what the percentage is, I'm sure Barna or somebody has taken a survey of this, but I wonder how many Christians would say there's...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Life of God and the God of Life. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Life of God and the God of Life, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Life of God and the God of Life. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Life of God and the God of Life. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.